message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today for another study in the Word of God. It's a real privilege to have you there as we're here. And we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. It's our desire to help you to understand and enjoy the Word of God. And we desire to teach the Word of God, not just simply what it's presumed to teach and people think it says, but to look into it and see what it actually says and teaches. I've said on this program time and again that the Bible's not hard to understand. The Bible's hard to believe. The reason people don't understand the Bible any more than they do is because they don't believe it as much as they should. People go into the Word of God and the Bible will contradict what they thought it ought to say, will say something different than what they thought it should have said, or what they've been raised rather to believe that it's going to say, and consequently they get confused. Well, what we're trying to do is not to presume that the Bible teaches something, not to self-judge it, but just to come into it and study it the way God says to study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And I got to say to you that everybody that says they're rightly dividing the Scripture, and everybody that talks about right division, not necessarily doing it God's way. To rightly divide it, you have to divide it correctly. You have to divide it properly. You have to make the distinctions where God makes the distinctions. And that helps us when we come to the study where we are now in Acts chapter number 2, talking about the day of Pentecost. And we've seen that the Pentecostal program, the Pentecostal movement in Acts chapter 2, and again, I say, we're not talking about denominations and religious groups in our day that use those terms to describe them, their own organizations and movements. We're talking about what's in the Bible now. We've seen that the Pentecostal movement in Acts 2 consisted of two basic parts. In Acts 2, verse 41, he says, "They that gladly received his word, Peter's word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." When you continue steadfastly in the doctrine being taught by the apostles in Acts 2, here's what you do. Number one, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." First, there's this tremendous signs and wonders program, the miraculous demonstrations that validated the offer of the kingdom that God was making to the nation Israel through the apostles. You'll recall how that our Lord Jesus Christ ministered in his earthly ministry, and he was validated to the nation Israel by signs and wonders that God did by him. Israel rejected him. They crucified him. God raised him from the dead. The ultimate sign of who he was God raising him from the dead. God took him into heaven, set him at his own right hand, sends the Holy Spirit back on the day of Pentecost on the apostles back here, and the 12 whom he had trained over here for the ministry they're going to carry out there go out in the early Acts period, and they begin to do the signs and wonders. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He sent them into all the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature, to all men. The gospel of the kingdom has to do with the fact that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven up there, is going to come and redeem Israel from the wrath of God, and redeem Israel from the Antichrist persecution, and save them into a kingdom over here. He'd come back and be their redeemer, redeem them, and then bind Satan in the bottomless pit, rule and reign over here for 1,000 years. And through Israel, the Word of God would go out to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles would be brought to Messiah's feet through redeemed Israel in her kingdom over there. Peter and them go out and begin to proclaim that. They go out to the nation Israel and proclaim that to Israel first so that Israel would be redeemed, and then redeemed Israel would be able to take the message out. And the signs and the wonder program that they carry on back here are signs. There are foretastes of that kingdom program and that kingdom blessing out there. And we've seen how these miraculous demonstrations they do exactly what they were intended to do. And yet when the nation Israel here in the book of Acts refuses to receive their Messiah, not just reject him in his incarnation, but in the resurrection ministry of the Holy Spirit, Israel rejects God the Father by rejecting John the Baptist. They reject God the Son by rejecting and crucifying their Messiah. They reject the witness of God the Holy Spirit and blaspheme against the Spirit of God. It's witnessed to them through the apostles, and God sets the nation Israel aside. And through the fall of Israel, not their rise to kingdom glory, as prophecy had said would happen, but not through their rise, but through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles, and it goes through another ministry. God today is sending salvation to the Gentiles, not through the prophesied ministry time past, but He's sending it to the Gentiles through a mystery program, a secret program that was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, whom He made Paul the Apostle. And Paul writes down that information in your Bible, in Romans through Philemon, his epistles. And in those books you find what God's doing in the secret program. God has set aside the nation Israel, and salvation goes to the Gentiles. The miraculous program that they were carrying on back here belonged to Israel. For example, speaking in tongues. They spoke with tongues on the day of Pentecost in order to declare the word to all the different people of the different languages. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22 says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Well, who requires a sign? If tongues are for a sign, and 1 Corinthians 1:22 says the Jews require a sign, then I know who the tongues are for. They're a sign to the nation Israel. But where is Israel today? God has set Israel aside. Israel has fallen today. Israel is not the issue. Then let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't take a real genius to understand that if the sign, the tongues program, belonged to Israel, and Israel has been set aside and aren't the issue anymore, then Israel's programs, which includes speaking in tongues, has been set aside and is not the issue today. And anybody that's trying to make it an issue today is trying to go back here into something that God Almighty set aside. If you want God's working, if you want to be a part of what God's doing, see, the issue isn't getting God to go to work in your life. The issue is getting you to where God is. If you want to do the will of God and you want to have God working in your life, go find out what God's doing, stand in that, and let that be what works in you. Get the Word of God rightly divided into your soul, built up there, be the thing you rest your confidence in, and it'll do the work. You won't have to strive and struggle and push and try to get rid of things and try to strive to get things and do this and always working and striving and trying to make God happy with you. When you find out what God's doing today, you can just rest. That's what faith is. You take the rest of faith. You rest in what God has accomplished for you in Christ. And my friend, the constant diversion from going on to maturity and going on to a position where you understand who you are in Christ by being drawn back and teased and enticed back into some physical program back here with Israel where your religious experience is the validation. Your human experience and your emotion are the validating things for your spiritual life. The Word of God is the validating thing. That's the issue. Pentecostal program started out with the signs and wonders, but when God set Israel aside, they fell. When Israel became no longer the issue with God, the signs and the wonder program became no longer the issue with God. And we've seen how dangerous it is to go back over here and try to take those things and put them in us over here. It makes the Word of God and what God's doing a burden and a problem to you. And I've said to you before that I've preached the Word of God and taught the Word of God from coast to coast in Bible conferences and local churches, on the radio, on the television for years. And my friend, if I've learned anything through the years, it's that people that sit where you're sitting, I can mention two things and instantly you respond. One of them is unanswered prayer. Because you've been taught, you've heard it said, you've thought that there were the prayer promises back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and over there in 1 John chapter 5 and chapter 3, you've been taught that those things were things that you should be doing today, that should be working in your life today, and you've tried to do them, whatsoever things in prayer you ask, believing you shall receive. I mean, that's a great one, Matthew 21, 22. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And you've asked God to do things for you, and you've believed that God would do it, and you've tried to have enough faith to move mountains, and it's failed in your life. Oh, yes, it has. I understand that. You see, I understand the heartache that comes from that. But, you know, some preachers just try to pull a veneer over it, and they say, well, it didn't really happen. Some people try to, you know, they don't want to let God down, make God look bad, so they just deny what their heart knows, that it didn't come to pass. We develop all kind of theological gimmicks, you know, to try to prove to us, to explain away what we consider to be God's failure. you know, we've got sin in our life, so he didn't answer because I got sin in my life. Listen, let me tell you something. If you had to get rid of every known sin in your life before God ever blessed you, you'd never get close enough to smell a blessing. Not you. Not me. God's blessings come on a different basis than what I do and what you do. They come on the basis of what God did for us in Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that's the only place you'll ever get anything from God's in Christ. People say, well, you know, I got God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3, you know. But, well, it's like in Daniel, you know, the angel withstood the answer for 20. Listen, God isn't answering prayers today by Pony Express, like he did back in time past. When you pray, you don't have to have God's phone number. You carry around God, the Holy Spirit, with you. You don't. When you pray, if somebody says, I pray, but the heavens were as brass. Well, you shouldn't have been trying to pray through the brassy heavens. You should have looked right in and let your spirit, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. You see, God Almighty is inside your body. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells you today if you're a believer. If you, by faith, have trusted Jesus Christ and been born in the family of God, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and takes up His residence inside your body. And you don't have to go anywhere to pray. You don't have to look to anywhere to pray. You don't have to look off to heaven or look off to Jerusalem to pray. You just turn inward to where God, the Holy Ghost, resides within you. If you carry around, if your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and you carry the Holy Spirit around with you all the time, you can pray wherever you go without trying to look off anywhere. That's why we bow our heads and close our eyes. And we're not looking off somewhere with communion with God and the inner man. Well, you say, well, all that's wonderful, but it don't work for... No, what doesn't work is a bunch of promises He didn't give you to start with. You don't have any right to expect Him to do those things. He didn't give those promises to anybody listening to me today, me or anybody else. Your prayer promises are in here. And you try Romans 8:26 and Ephesians 3:20 and Philippians 4:6-7 to see if they don't work in your life. They'll flat work because they're what God's doing today. But you got to get in here to find out about that. The other thing you can talk about to people and get instant response is unhealed bodies. Unanswered prayer and unhealed bodies, brother, it'll work every time. And I guarantee you, I'm talking to somebody right now and you're wondering, why in the world hadn't God healed me? And you've said, I've prayed and I've fasted and I've held out and I've gone to get brother so-and-so and I've done this and I've claimed it and I've let go and I've done all the rest and it still isn't there. You know, you got this, and again, we develop all these gimmicks, you know. Claim your healing, you know. It isn't there yet, but just claim it, you know. Like the guy said to me one time, well, it's like, you know, Moses is a miracle, you know. God, Moses crossed the Red Sea, that was a miracle. And we just have to believe it. Well, the difference in that is when Moses took Israel across the Red Sea, the water literally did part. And it literally separated. And they went through dry. And they didn't get wet. They could see it. It happened. And you're looking at your body and you're saying, well, it's got to be there. It's got to be there. I'll claim it. No, you know what you're doing? You're trying to claim something God never told you could claim. He never promised you that. And let me tell you something. You can't claim by faith something God didn't tell you was yours. You know what that is? That's superstition. You know what that is? That's spiritual larceny is what it is. And you know what? You and I know good and well that larceny, thievery, stealing something that isn't yours, isn't right. And surely you don't expect God to bless that, do you? Well, you know better than that. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is understand the Word of God rightly divided. Understand where you fit in the program of God. We aren't back there. We're over here. So that signs and wonder program, it fell when Israel fell. But there's another part to the Pentecostal program. And it's a part that nobody says much about, but I want to say something about it today. Verse number 44, Acts 2:44, and all that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, even as every man had need. Now that verse is a real embarrassment to anybody that would claim to follow the Pentecostal program. That verse would have to embarrass you if you think what you're doing today is what they're doing back on the day of Pentecost. Because folks, that's a special type of communal living. A spiritual type of communal living based on the clear instructions of Jesus Christ to do exactly that. Look with me. Why did they sell what they had? Why did they have all things in common? Why did they sell their possessions and goods and part to every man as he had need? Luke chapter 12, Verse 33 will tell you why they did it. Luke chapter 12, look in your Bible and read the passage. In Acts chapter number 4, when you see the experience of Pentecost is repeated, they do exactly the same thing. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed with his own, but they had all things common, and with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked." Now watch this. "For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." There are a lot of preachers been trying to talk to you about tongues talking and getting your bodies healed that are taking up the money from you and buying houses. They're not selling them. Buying big estates and aren't selling them. Buying big automobiles and fancy rings and all the rest. They're not selling them. That passage is a problem. You know why it's a problem? Because ain't nobody doing it. That's why. Excuse my English. You know why those people did it in Acts 2 and Acts 4? Because they did what Jesus Christ told them. I want to demonstrate to you that there's no person listening to me today that wants to do what Christ told them to do back there. You know the program that Christ gave these people back here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John won't work today. It worked in Pentecost, but you don't operate it today, and you know you don't. And we can put your money where your mouth is real quick. I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm trying to say it so you're hearing me. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Watch it carefully. Write it down. Get your pencil and piece of paper if you don't have a Bible. Look at it. Let the words on the page in the Bible make a difference in your life. Luke 12, 32. "Fear not, little flock." Talking to these people right here. "It is your Father's good pleasure to" do what? "Give you the kingdom." The issue is the kingdom. "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags that wax not old, treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see what he says? He says, "Hey guys, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you got, because the kingdom is going to come over here, and that's where your inheritance is going to be. Sell out." I got a guy in my church that I pastor, a dear brother. He got saved under a ministry of a man, got saved. Wasn't long after that, the man preached, "Sell what you have. Sell out for Jesus." The fellow in my church went home, told his wife, "We need to sell out for Jesus." He sold out. Sold his furniture, sold his refrigerator, sold the rug off the floor, the couch in the living room, sold everything he had. Didn't sell a house he lived in because he didn't own it. 2 or 3 weeks went by, things weren't coming in. Things weren't working. Finally, he got discouraged. He didn't understand. He quit his job. Hey, by the way, that's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2. Why don't you go down there in Acts chapter 2, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. These folks quit work. Why'd they do that? Well, Jesus told them in Luke chapter 12, "The lilies, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spend not." They don't work. They don't have a job work. "And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." Whew, that's hard. You know what that means? That means these people quit the job. Why? They're going into the kingdom. They got rid of their clothes. They got rid of their houses. They got rid of their investments. Why? They're going into the kingdom. Sell what you... You know what Jesus said? He said, if a man doesn't forsake everything he's got, you cannot be my disciple. And Peter and the other brethren there, they were businessmen. They were independent businessmen, commercial fishermen. They had boats. They had investments in inventory. They had nets and boats. And you know what it says? They left all that they had and followed him. They left it. They did it. How about you? Are you doing it? That brother in my church, you know what happened to him? He got discouraged, brother, and he quit. He said the Lord quit. You know what he did? He went back to the preacher that told him that, and the preacher said, "Well, you ought to have sense enough to know I didn't mean to sell your house and sell your furniture. put that. He said, you ought to know I was talking about spiritualize. That's the problem. Spiritualizing the verses. See? You know what those verses say? Those verses say exactly what these people did. You know why they did them? Because Christ told them to do them right over there. You know why? I mean, they would have quit work, sell out, or they were phonies. The 12 did it. They left their nets. They left their business. And they sold out, gave it away, went out and followed the Lord. You know why they did that? They understood where they were going. They're going into the kingdom over there. They knew they were going to go into that kingdom, and they wouldn't lack anything over there. Come with me to Acts chapter number 11. Get Acts 11 in one hand, Romans chapter 15. Now, don't miss what we're going to do right now. Don't turn the TV off now. You need some answers to some of this stuff. In Acts chapter number 11, you say, but preacher, all that stuff back there, it don't work today. That's right, it sure doesn't. You know why? Because God changed the program. Hadn't got anything to do with God not being able to do it. God just isn't doing that anymore. And you know He isn't. Your experience confirms the truth of God's Word. Now, we don't base our doctrine on experience. We base it on the Word of God. But anything that's true will be confirmed in your experience. And my friend, God, you know what Paul said over here? He said if a man, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said if a man doesn't work, don't let him eat. Now, how in the world are you going to reconcile that with this thing over here? You know what he said over here? If a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's denied the faith, and it's worse than an infidel. This economy over here doesn't match that economy. God's done changed things. God has made a change in the program. Watch it show up. Acts chapter 11, verse number 29. Then the disciples, Acts chapter 29. By the way, he says in verse 27, and in those days came prophets from Antioch, from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world. All right, there's a great famine hits the land. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. You know what happened? Those people down there, God said, I'll feed you, I'll clothe you, I'll take care of you, have all things in common, because over here in this kingdom, everything's going to be okay. And anything you got your roots sucked down into here is going to be a hindrance to you. So sell it out so it doesn't hinder you here, and you'll get it back over here 100-fold. When God changed the program and a famine came, you know what happened? These people over here had to send relief to them. You know why? Because they'd sold what they had. Romans chapter 15. Watch this relief program. Romans 15, verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, would you tell me where did the poor saints at Jerusalem come from? You know where the poor saints at Jerusalem came from? Listen, there's been a great dispensational change took place between back here when they had all things in common and God provided, and they didn't lack one thing. They didn't have need of anything that wasn't supplied by God for them. And you get over here, and now they're poor and they're destitute, and they have to have these people over here send gifts to them to buy food and clothing. Why is that? Why, folks, God changed the program. That's why. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 46, those things in there is proof positive that there's not anybody today that really believes that this program back here is what we're doing today. You don't believe it. Nobody else does. Because nobody is going to practice it. You can go around quoting Acts 2:38 all you want to. You can go around talking about tongues talking all you want to. That's the cheap way out, brother. I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and let's go back there and let's really do it. Let's sell out, will you? You ready? You ready to volunteer for that part of it? No, you're not, are you? You know better. You know you couldn't do it and do what God has for you today. You'd be out of the will of God if you did. You can be scriptural, but not dispensational, be out of the will of God. Now look, folks, when you get down to something like that, that practical and that simple to understand, don't let somebody deceive you into going back there and taking the cheap way out and taking a couple of little things that they can use to tantalize you with. Why not just go on to perfection? Go on over here and bask in the glory of God's grace and what God's accomplished for us in His Son, and just rejoice in what God is doing today in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He set aside the nation Israel, and through the fall of Israel, salvation goes to the Gentiles through the ministry that the risen Lord from heaven's glory has committed to us through the Apostle Paul. You know, I teach about that every week on this program. And I want it to sink down into your heart because I want you to be free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to be free. I want you to be free from the law program. I want you to be free from the deception and the misunderstanding. I want you to be free from that book being a burden to you and have it to be the blessing God intended. I want you to get the value and the wealth out of it that God's intended for you to have. And there isn't any other way for you to do it except to rightly divide that word. Trust Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Savior, and realize that your Christian life is lived from that day onward only on the basis of what God's accomplished for you in His Son. The only way you ever understand that is getting the Word of God. We offer free Bible study tapes every week right here for you. We've got one today, one to offer you. Dan will be on in a minute to make an announcement about it, give you the phone number you can call, give you the address that you can write. Listen, you need to get this little tape and take that tape and let the message, a Bible study message, take the verses and look at it and compare them. Don't take it from me. Search and see. Get in the Word of God and find out what God's doing. But you only as you take the Word of God and get it in you, and get it built up in your heart, can God's Word work in you that believe. So you get the address and you write us, and we want to send you this. It's free. We want to give it to you because we want you to have the truth. Because to know the truth is to be free. To be free from religious bondage, to be free from deception, and to be free in Christ to have Him be doing the work for God's glory. You listen and get the address now as Dan comes. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Something No One Believes. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 190 as tape offer number 190. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.